You are listening to National Security Law Today.
Welcome to National Security Law Today, the podcast of the Standing Committee on Law and National Security. I'm Elisa Poteet. I'm here in my individual capacity, as always. And it's another week of government shutdown in Washington, D.C. While the government's shut down, however, Russia has escalated the war in Ukraine, has begun attacking particular areas that are residential areas, including several schools. It is unquestionable that they're escalating the war. It's difficult to understand what Putin thinks will be the ultimate outcome of this if it isn't further Russian expansion, but that is happening. There's been so much national security law this week in national security news. We felt like we had to pause and talk about a little bit of it. As I mentioned, Russia has ramped up its military offensive in the eastern part of Ukraine. There is a particular stronghold where the Ukrainians have been holding on, which is Pokrovsk, which is just taking an enormous amount of fire. Nearby Lithuania is very nervous, and they have been issuing public statements to Putin to the effect that they'll shoot down any suspicious balloons, because apparently that's what the Russians have been flying over that small country. Now, we put a lot of money, as it turns out, into Argentina in order to bolster Javier Milei, and it looks like his party has won, and bonds and currency have surged. And as you know, the United States has promised a bailout to Argentina. So that is a welcome turn, at least for the American economy, since we stood to lose a lot of money if that didn't go that way, whether you like Milei or find him utterly repulsive. I think this is a potentially positive development for the United States if you think it's a terrible situation in Argentina. Now, there are some other things that are interesting with respect to our series on AI, and I think they're sort of important to consider. One of them is that there is a startup by the name of Oklo, which has $20 billion and is supposed to start building nuclear power plants. Silicon Valley has just kicked an enormous amount of money into it. It's been backed by Sam Altman, who, you know, is the CEO of OpenAI, now a publicly held company. And interestingly enough, it sort of has nothing to deliver. It hasn't done anything yet. It's not clear what exactly Oklo is planning to do because they really haven't done very much. And yet they're receiving an enormous amount of venture capital. Something very interesting, as AI companies are very desperate to have energy to support their data centers and their extremely high energy needs because of their computing needs. Again, as we talked to Karen Howe and some other people, we know that there is no movement that we can see, and we hope to find it, where any of these AI companies are driving toward more efficient computing that would prevent all of this extra electricity from being necessary. Now, unfortunately, it has happened. There have been two U.S. Navy aircraft that crashed into the South China Sea, which is, I guess, a sometimes disputed territory that the Chinese have been patrolling in and engaging in other sort of military hijinks. And that happened within a short 30-minute time that they both went down, raising a lot of questions about precisely what occurred. Now, this week, interestingly, a lot of people are discussing how different the Republican Party's approach to tariffs has been of late, or the president's, I should say. I don't know that all of this is the same within the party, but there have been a lot of social media posts featuring statements about Reagan, which are the opposite, of course, of Trump's. And it's a very interesting thing to look at. And it makes us, of course, wonder. Those things were said in a time when Chinese dominance was not at the level that it is now. And so, you know, whether they would serve us as well today or if tools that we would never use before now have to be deployed. But it's something to at least consider. One of the futures of national security is going to be the workforce that we have. But it continues to be the case by all economic indicators that have been published over the last month that the children of today, the kids who are in high school and in their 20s, are suffering economically in ways that previous generations did not, and that this could have an impact on a future national security federal workforce. That's something to think about as we look out at long-term plans, which we should be making at this point in the United States of America, though we still tend to think extremely short-term. It is coming up very soon that in the middle of this government shutdown, when many people are furloughed, the naked truth is that most national security lawyers are still working because they have jobs where they deal with fast-moving, very serious national security issues, and they are accepted. Nevertheless, we're having the 35th annual review of the field of national security. It's a CLE conference, and it's coming up very quickly on November 13th and 14th. It is at a very nice hotel, which is very easy to get to at the Woodley Metro or on bike share. It's the Omni Shoreham Hotel, and it's absolutely lovely. It's only a block from the metro. But one of the things to keep in mind is the focus this year is very much on private industry and new technologies. And I thought I'd take a minute to just talk a little bit about some of the people who will be speaking. Katie Kedian will be moderating a panel with Elizabeth Cannon, who is the executive director at the Bureau of Industry and Security at the Department of Commerce. I think Liz's role is going to become increasingly important. She deals with export controls, which is going to be a lot of the high technology that we develop in the United States. But as we heard from Rachel Alpert, Commerce stands to start handling a lot of this tariff work, and it'll be interesting to see whether any of that falls to the Bureau of Industry and Security or if it ends up elsewhere. But Liz has a wealth of experience. She's going to be joined by Adam Hickey, who is also just amazingly brilliant, highly energetic guy who probably knows more about all aspects of national security than most people out there. We're also going to have a panel which is hosted by Jamil Jaffer, who is an amazing guy, and it would be definitely worth listening to him. That panel is going to be about empowering rapid innovation in national security, something that we don't always do that well. However, he's going to talk about startups, and that's important. And in addition, the person who's going to be sitting on that panel, who you probably want to hear from the most, is going to be Matt Olson, who has 25 years working in national security and private industry, including a tenure at Uber. And Matt is extremely knowledgeable and has probably had all of the jobs that you may, if you're a young lawyer, want to have at some point in your career. And it might be a good idea to listen and hear what he has to say. In addition, Yvette Busico is going to be introducing a longtime member of the Fourth Estate, David Ignatius, who's associate editor and columnist for The Washington Post. And he's going to be speaking with Glenn Gerstle, who is now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, but he's also the former general counsel of NSA. There's also going to be a panel on national security law and private practice, which I think is a very important panel, and it's going to be hosted by former Assistant Attorney General John Carlin, now a partner at Paul Weiss. And with him is going to be Deb Curtis, who is now a partner at Arnold & Porter. And Deb's been around a long time and has a wealth of experience dealing with international money laundering and topics like that that are very important to national security law, because without the money laundering, a lot of these international hostile actors really can't function. You'll have multiple opportunities to be able to acquire CLE credit. It's a fun panel. We're going to talk about what I think is one of the most important topics of the moment with somebody who thinks about it more than anybody else and is very knowledgeable, Margaret Hugh. And that is the AI arms race that we're facing right now and how it fits in with our current national security law framework. Margaret, if you don't know her, is brilliant, fun, just organically nurturing to people who have good fortune to deal with her. And she thinks about this constantly, writes on it. She has an amazing Substack. And you would be very well advised to come and hear anything that Margaret is presiding over when it comes to AI. So that's all I have for you tonight. I look forward to seeing you. There are other panels, and we can hyperlink to the program in the notes to the cast, but it's going to be great. It's only 2 days long, and we hope you can make it to at least one, if not 2 days. You still have a little bit of time to register, and I think you'll find it a really wonderful opportunity to start thinking about the private sector in a time of tremendous government cutbacks. So thank you for listening tonight. Please do us a favor and subscribe to this podcast on your listening app of choice. It helps us. It helps us get that content out there. Next week, we're going to be returning to the issues pertaining to the AI arms race, basically where we are and what national security threats are posed by the unchecked development of AI. as well as its expansive need for energy that we may not be able to fulfill given our current grid. So the writer and producer and host of this podcast is me, Elisa Poteet. I'm always here in my individual capacity. Our editor is Frances Burkham. My co-producer is the ever-lovely Holly McMahon. Our program manager is Antasia Hawkins-Blakeney, who is absolutely wonderful, energetic, and a dear. And we get social media support and research from Alana Coopersmith, who helps us very much. But most importantly, get a lot of help and suggestions from those people who are on the Standing Committee for Law and National Security. These are apolitical, decent, hardworking, brilliant people with a wealth of experience. And they have given a lot of input to the conference this year, and you probably would get an opportunity to meet an awful lot of them if you show up. So we look forward to seeing you there. Have a great week, and cross fingers, let's hope the government reopens. Thanks for listening. See you next time with more on AI.
The views expressed on National Security Law Today have not been approved by the House of Delegates or the Board of Governors of the American Bar Association, and this recording should not be construed as representing ABA policy.